Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we are here with Jonathan Dunn. He is the CEO and co-owner of Initium, and can be found at initium.com. That is spelled initium.com. So welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me, Winter.
Well, I can tell you're going to be fun because you jumped on here with a little bit of fun, but and we're going to get to the unfun stuff. But before, let's talk fun. If you could wake up tomorrow with any superpower, business aside, what would you pick and how would you use it?
Whoa. I guess I'd wake up, if I could, with the superpower of wisdom.
Wisdom.
I think, the ability to just make the right choices and know that you're doing that rather than, doing your best, but not always confident you're doing the right thing, then that would be great.
I mean, that is a good one. I love this question. Like somebody said time. Infinite time. Somebody said like being able to read minds, I mean, those are, but wisdom, like you literally would never make a mistake if you had
that
wisdom.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great? Yeah.
But would we grow? Would we really grow? Okay. So at a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
Yeah, thank you. So we are Initium Corporate Finance. We're what you in the US would probably describe as a boutique M&A company. We focus only on the sell side, so we just help our clients are those heroes in the economy that are the ambitious entrepreneurs that have built something of real value. And our role is to help them before that deal, during that deal, and joy of joys after the deal as well. And so most of our clients would classically make $15 million plus. Mm-hmm. So the stakes are pretty high and life-changing sums of money. We just focus on the sell side, find buyers for them, negotiate the deals, and get the best possible home for the clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about how you got involved and went that route as an owner, entrepreneur.
Yeah, so I started my career as an accountant, qualified with a reasonable sized accountancy firm. Then I joined Ernst & Young, EY, as it's now called, and realized that, and probably just as well, the only thing that would keep me in the profession was the transactional side of it, so helping deals get done. So I've been doing that for about 30 years, I guess, all in all. I left EY to join this business in 2010, and I was just finding at EY that the clients were getting bigger, much, much more global and the rest of it. And I'd actually was beginning to miss the entrepreneurial flair of those clients, if you like. Yeah. So that's why I joined this business. And I became CEO in 2019. Mm-hmm. Now, I could lead deals pretty much with my eyes shut. Leading a business is totally different, of course. And so I really had to learn that job the hard way. At that stage, we were about 150 people.
And those were 150 employees?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they back in those days. We're a much smaller business now, and we focus on the the higher value, lower volume. Yep. Side of it, my job was to take that business on and help it thrive.
And so you've said most CEOs learn on the job, Nobody gives you a handbook despite the millions upon millions of books out there until it's like becoming a mom. Until you do it, you just don't know a mom or dad. So look, we all know running a business is hard. You're going to make mistakes, but before you do that and talk about those mistakes, let's talk about something that you did well and you did right.
Right. I suppose what I did well was actually becoming CEO from within. I don't think that's always that easy. You're quite pally with the people you suddenly become the boss for. And I think I made that transition pretty well and didn't sort of lose any, didn't make any enemies doing that. And kept relationships and things like that. So I think I did that pretty well. And got my arms around the business, realized actually we were just a bit flabby, if I'm honest, so I knew that we had to reduce it a little bit, which I started, and then of course COVID hit. And in our world, if there aren't any buyers buying our clients, we have no revenue really. And so it was a massively challenging time to just see no money coming in. The wage bill, everything was fixed, and we didn't have long in terms of the runway that we had at the time the music stopped. So my job then was to shrink the business really quickly, and that's what we did. It was painful because a lot of people knew each other, obviously, some husbands and wives involved. It was just a very family-oriented business because that's what it was, family-owned. It was a difficult time, and the family just weren't up for having that really difficult level of conversation. So I took it on. I think I did it well, but it wasn't easy. It was the real sort of making of me, I suppose, to be able to make some. I always like to be popular, and this made me very unpopular. We shrunk the headcount by about 100, so it was a massive cut. And yeah, did that pretty well. Got the courage to do it.
Walk us through shrinking a headcount of 100 people. I mean,
No, well, I mean, when you're doing it that way and in that at that pace, in the UK we've got pretty strict labour laws as to how you would do that, and so there was a consultation period. There was employee representatives representing different parts of the group. It was all done on Teams because it was in COVID. Alone around my, sort of dining room table, as so many of us had to do at that stage. And yeah, so we just went through the process. The leadership team that I put together did a brilliant job. And at the same time, we were just formulating what could our business look like and how would we want to emerge from this. And the family, as I said, they owned the business. But I said to them at the start, I said, look, if you are wanting me to do this, the only way I can possibly imagine helping people sort of envision and imagine why it's worthwhile is to just promise them that the ownership is going to change if we pull this off. And so I revisited that conversation once we'd emerged from everything and done the shrink. And that was when the idea of the ownership structure that we've now got was born. And in the UK, you can have employee-owned businesses. So everybody who's an employee is a co-owner in the business. Really popular type of deal over here.
Really cool.
And that's what we've done. And it just meant that everybody who made that sacrifice benefited in a very obvious and meaningful way. And I have to say, under that ownership, comparing the two leadership phases, pre-COVID and post-COVID, where you were leading a business that was much bigger and much more perhaps chaotic. Post-COVID, you're much more focused, you're employee-owned. God, the sense of belonging and the sense of togetherness and the real sense of shared purpose is palpable. So Yeah, it's made a huge, huge difference, and it gives us the platform that we can grow from. It's wonderful.
So you're co-owner. How many co-owners are there?
30.
30. Okay, so we're
30.
definitely boutique style. Everybody's rowing in the same direction now, right? We're all on board. We're all happy. What happens if there's friction? And, look, being an owner is hard. Being an owner with a business partner is hard. Being an owner with 29 business partners is really hard. So what
Yeah.
happens when there is a disagreement?
There's a healthy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still have a leadership team. I run that leadership team. There are three others on it. We make the decisions, and everybody trusts us to make the right decisions. But there are certain decisions which are quite rightfully wanting to be aired with the wider group of co-owners. So when we got everything sorted and we had this new found vision, we changed our name as well. So we rebranded, we changed our name. That was a big decision. We got everybody behind that. So that was a very sort of democratic and socialist process, and it worked really well. But I have to say, that is the only thing that we've consulted the entire co-ownership on. We haven't had any really difficult conversations to have, or
Okay, well
any.
then you're just a lucky one.
We are, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It's a good together ship, definitely, yeah.
That's good. So what are some of the top things that are impacting your company or your industry right now? They could be positive or negative.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the negative stuff. So it's what we love is certainty. Like everybody does, right? And in our world, that means that people can make informed judgments about whether to buy something, about whether now is the time to sell, knowing, what they can trust in terms of the assumptions they're making and the rest of it. We just haven't had that world. It started to disintegrate with COVID. And then, of course, you had the energy crisis, you had the inflationary period, you've now got tariffs. All of these things have a big impact. So those are negative in our world because they just sustain this period of uncertainty. They'll still get done. People still get old, and outgrow a business, or they still need to do things. So it's not like it all dries up, but it's not as easy to get people to that decision point as it used to be. So I think the things that have really benefited us and that are benefiting us are the EOS implementation. So we did that 2 years ago. That's made a huge difference. The amount of clarity that's brought the organization right the way through it. The language we now use in the business, the getting things done, simply buying things, process, all of that stuff that comes with that has made a huge difference, because before it was all a little bit either in my head or someone else's, so
And
that's
that's
really
fair.
great.
And so
Yeah.
are you self-implementing or are you using an implementer?
We used an implementer for 18 months, and then we've just over the last 6 months begun to self-implement.
Gotcha. Okay. And then do you have an integrator?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, so you're the integrator. And so why did you decide that you were going to be this integrator?
Well, I know, true to the sort of purity of the model, the visionary, which is also me, should be separate from that. And I think when you take that test and see where your loyalties lie, my I see the visionary being much more permanent role for me than it is than the integrator role. But somebody had to do it, and I was definitely the best equipped to do it. And it was a lot of my sort of vision that was being outworked through it. So it just felt right to do that. But on our roadmap is getting another integrator to come on board and take that weight off me,
Yeah, a
yeah.
lot of visionaries are the integrator, and it's funny because the visionary can, not always, but they typically are more of the like creative dreamer, big ideas, right? And the integrator is so structured and executioner, and you know, the personalities are often clash, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. They do. I've got another person on my leadership team called Liz, who is definitely a visionary and a dreamer, and she comes up with some brilliant ideas. Between us, we could, if we allowed it, we had quite a lot of chaos, but the EOS keeps us from doing that. I mean, just by way of example, along those lines, you know, we began to dream that we could completely transform our business model and all, you know, maybe even transform the way our world is seen by outsiders. So I by that I mean our world, the M&A world, it's ever so transactional. I said we help people before, during, and after the deal. To my knowledge, there's nobody helping people after the deal in our sector. You get the deal done and that's it, you know. And I'm sure it's similar in the US, and certainly over here, nobody runs this program for these clients that have sold. And we call it our Fellows program, the Initium Fellows program. These are all the people that have sold their business through us. And there's hundreds of people in this program. And what you find, and we found, discovered this during COVID, because there were no deals getting done. We just started to speak to the people that we worked for and just said, "What are you doing now?" Amazing numbers of them actually had a brilliant first 6 months, but after that, they really hit some lows because their identity has, you know, changed completely in terms of what they're known for and what they're valued for, and all of this kind of work that's gone into creating their legacy. They're no longer involved in it, and we just found, gosh, that is amazing. And there's nobody there to help them. And we thought, well, let's just put these people together and see what comes out of it. So we get them together a lot, and they just love. It's like a antenatal group or postnatal group. They've just got this shared experience that they can't help themselves but talk about. And they all want to sort of give back and help others not make the mistakes they did and all of that stuff. So we put all of that together and thought, well, this is brilliant because now we can serve our clients and maintain lifelong relationships with them. And the potential of that program is vast. And my dream is that once that program is fully established and up and running, it will provide our future clients as well, because they've all got really great networks and contacts and that sort of thing. And the whole thing will be sort of self-sustaining. So that's the big dream that we're
I
trying to
mean,
do,
that is
create.
sales 101, right? Like business
Yeah.
people do business with people they like. My dad was in car sales. He said, you didn't sell him one car, you sold him five over 15. How you treat your customer is, you know, more important than the sale. And staying in contact with people after and helping them way after, you know, it's relationships. And that's the one thing AI can't replace,
No, that's
you
very true.
know.
Yeah.
And just go ahead, go, were you going to say something?
No, I just think our industry has lost sight of that, if I'm absolutely honest. And I think we're waking up to that. We're doing something about it, and we want to become known for that. If you go
And
on our
I
website,
think
you
you're
know,
onto
it's.
something there, because nobody likes feeling like a tchotchke that's being sold. I mean, that is in essence how it can break down.
Yeah.
But I mean, they want to feel like they matter while it's being sold, and they want to feel like matter when they're the buyers after they bought.
Yeah, that's right. But none of them imagine that life might get difficult
No.
either.
It's
You
all
know, it's
roses and
like,
dreams. You have to have
yeah.
rose-colored glasses to do what
Of
these
course you do.
companies are
You wouldn't
doing.
do it otherwise.
Otherwise, you wouldn't do
Yeah.
it. If you're a realist, you'd be like, I'm out.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, that's one of our uniques, definitely. I think being employee-owned of our size in our sector, you won't find another like that. You know, having a fellows program, you won't find another like that. So we got a few uniques as well.
Yeah, I love it.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
So are you on a growth trajectory? Are you happy where you are currently?
No, we're not happy where we are. We do have plans to treble our revenues over the next 10 years. Certainly not treble the staff base, but you know, and ultimately we've got plans for impact. So we want to, already we have throughout our history supported philanthropic endeavors, and we just want to do more of that as well and get our fellows involved. We own and run an orphanage in India, for instance, and
very cool,
getting some of our fellows over there with their kids, you know, just one of those transformatory kind of experiences. All of that is sort of shaping up. But yeah, so impact is where this all leads. And so, yeah, we wouldn't be able to do half the things we know we can with the sort of revenue levels we've got at the moment.
Yeah. So what's next for you and your company? Like, what new projects are on the horizon?
Well, we're beginning to offer more to our clients in terms of not just the sale, but the bit beforehand. So we are now working with clients a lot longer before a sale to help them shape the business, help them make them. I mean, what you find is entrepreneurs classically have a view of who's going to buy them and why. And in pretty well, at least 80% of the cases, they are wrong. And what they also can't answer very well, why would they, is, well, what is it about a business like yours that really makes it attractive to the buyer?
Yeah.
Do they really look at their business through the eyes of a buyer? And then they find that, well, actually, I'm not measuring the stuff buyers would really value. So I better start measuring that. And things on the other side of the coin, what puts them off? And see whatever you can do to eradicate that stuff. So there's probably 3 years now of preparatory work that our clients will do under our sort of supervision in the run-up to a sale, but it makes the sale a lot easier. And so we're doing that, and if they want to grow by acquisition, we'll help them do that. If they want to crack a new market, we're building an ecosystem to help them make that journey.
And isn't everything like this right now, where there has to be some sort of pivot? I mean, so I have a huge background in real estate, and it's like, you can't just throw a house on the market and expect it going to sell. We have to get alabaster white paint. We have to get new carpet. We have to get staging furniture in there. We have to make a very sexy description. You've got to get all these things going before you can put that thing on the market and then hope it, you know, hope you, you pull in what you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And with buyers being as bougie as they are these days, it's got to hit on all cylinders. And that's just a house, right? But we're talking people's businesses. And so it's not just like, hey, you get to get me with all my warts and bruises, right? You've got to help those companies kind of get into the best and most attractive position they are in order to get them sold, right?
Absolutely, you do. Yeah.
And I mean, it's just where we are right now, because like there was a lot of consumering going on for years and years and years. And I've personally noticed over the past couple of years, that's really slowed down. People take way longer to make decisions. People overanalyze. Their analyzations have analyzations, right? Like they teeter totter, they go back, they have on their mind just this. Something will be on their mind for months to years before they actually execute on it. So I can see how your sales cycle, all like
especially with businesses, you know, would take longer too. And you have to get, you have to get them like a shiny penny before you put them on the market, right? Because like eventually somebody's going to buy it, but they're going to want it to hit on everything.
That's right. Yeah, make it as buyable as possible and make it as attractive as possible. So you make a market for it. You don't just have one buyer, you have many who want it for different reasons. And it gives you the choice of who ultimately deserves it.
So tell us who your avatar is. If somebody listening was a good fit for what you do, tell us specifics about that.
That's a really great question. If somebody's listening who is ambitious, advisable, prepared to, trust people to make the best, or just provide the best advice. If they are thinking about, where does this all lead? And I don't really know the answer to that question. If they're EOS implemented, fabulous, because they're better businesses. Just anybody that's got ambition and wants to, probably in the next, say, 5 years, realize value and do something with it. I mean, when you come out the other end of that, you've got the time. You've got the money. You've always had the skill. You've got the resources. You can do whatever you want to do. And everybody's got a passion about something.
Yeah.
If you are thinking about that, then we'd love to talk to you. And if you aspire to make, $15 million plus, then you're our kind of client.
There you go. Perfect. If you want to make $15 million plus, right? There's the perfect fit.
Yeah, definitely.
And so if somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Take a look at the website, initium.com.
Sets that out logo, there everything. How it's spelled, INITIUM.
Correct. That'll set out everything that we've got on there. Most of our clients just take a first step. It's just to find out where they are right now. How saleable are they? Might they get? And, what's wrong with the business, if you like. So it's a bit of a real look at the value and the attractiveness of your business today, so that you can anchor that and say, well, what do I want it to be? Over what period of time? And then there's a journey ahead, isn't there? And so taking the first step is pretty painless. We do all of that work.
But I mean, I'm looking at your website. I mean, it's great. There's a lot of a lot of great information here.
Mm. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And if you want to check out Mr. Dunn, go to initium.com.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.